Good evening, everyone. Apologies for being a few minutes behind schedule.
And can everyone see the agenda?
Yes, we
Okay,
can.
great. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. All right. And we have board members. Yep, okay, great. So we can get started. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for your patience. And I thank you for joining today's board meeting, which is on December 15th, 2022. This public meeting of Hope Community PCS Board is now called to order. We will now call the roll to determine if we have quorum. Anissa Bailey.
Here.
Allison Barr,
I'm here.
Sharifat Balogun,
I'm here.
Lorraine Loitova,
I'm here.
and Neha Patel, she's absent. Carrie Smith, I'm here. A quorum has been determined, and we will now proceed with the business portion of the meeting. We have an agenda to review. I would like to ask for a motion to approve the agenda.
Hi, Sharif. I move to approve today's agenda.
Thank you, Sharifa. May I have someone to second the motion?
This is Anissa. I second the motion to approve today's agenda.
Okay, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Any nays or abstentions? No. Okay, the agenda is approved. And board members, we also have the board minutes from our December 1 meeting to review. Are there any corrections? No. So may I have a motion to approve the minutes from the December 1 board meeting?
This is Allison. I move to approve the minutes from the December 1st, 2022 board meeting.
Okay, thank you, Allison. May I have someone second the motion?
Is Anissa. I second the motion to approve the board minutes.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any nays or abstentions? No. The minutes we approved will be online, and minutes from this meeting will be approved in the January. At the January meeting, the recording for this meeting will be available 24 to 48 hours. From today, and these actions are based on the Open Meetings Act of DC. Today, let's proceed with hearing updates from PLA and Hope on the progress of the school. And I think first up, we have a marketing presentation, Ashley.
Yes, forgive me, my Wi-Fi is very shaky for some reason this evening. So if I go out, please, I apologize. So the first thing I wanted to mention was the parent and family engagement survey that went out. And so the goal behind that survey is to assess the engagement levels for parents and families. How were they engaged this semester? How do they feel about the engagement? How do they prefer to be engaged? And kind of a overall assessment of their experience at Hope. And so that went out to parents and families. That data will be available once we start getting survey responses. So we are looking forward to and crossing our fingers. Positive favorite response engagement. I will say I believe that as far as direct FC has been amazing with just personal touch in regards to engagement. But it, beyond that, definitely social media. Website, social media. Bianca's done a great job with that as well. And in tandem with our marketing department, we tag team with Bianca on the social media. And so as far as Hope has an event this week, making sure that gets posted on social media. And she does a lot of word of mouth if you will, as well. I think that as far as levels of engagement, I think we'll see that on the survey responses in regards to how parents are engaged. I know also that the school leader is going to be embarking or starting the newsletters. We just had a newsletter training not too long ago. And so the school leader in tandem with Bianca will start posting or pushing out their newsletters as well. So we look forward to that. And our marketing team is here to support them in those efforts as well. Okay. Any questions about the survey right now?
When does the survey close?
The survey went out already. Oh, I think that's what you asked. It went out a little bit. You asked when?
When did it close? So, okay. Say it again. You're still working on results.
Oh, yeah, still waiting on results, but it has gone out. Okay. It was slated to go out this month, and it did go out. And so we're waiting on results to start piling in. We'll send it out again probably after the holiday. Just we did get it out before the holiday, which is great. And we'll send it out again in the new year just to get another round of results.
Do you think you'll have some data from it by the next board meeting?
The next board meeting is that the second week of January, perhaps. Like I said, what we'll do is send it out again the first week of January. I believe they'll have data to share with you. So, but like I said, we got it out before the holidays, so that will bring in some responses, and then we'll wait until after the first week of January, send it again, and the data that we do have, we'll share with you during the next board meeting.
I think I'm sure. I think it's January 19th. Christine, I'm not sure.
Any other questions?
But let's be ready for that January 19th date, the next board meeting.
Oh, okay. Well, that time. Yeah, that's great time.
Okay.
Yeah, no, the January 19th is great. Some more responses in. That's perfect. It's actually.
Okay. All right.
Any other questions on that? Okay, perfect. Then the next thing I wanted to mention was the Hope Award. So a press release went out regarding the award. We targeted media that target families and parents in the DC area. That's where we sent that press release, so that way we can ensure that that press release reaches our target audience. We also posted on social media. We placed it on the website. I wanted to mention the photo op. Now that the award is there, which I maybe the end of November, now that the award is there, if you all are interested in doing a photo op, we would love to, once you all have that image, would love to do another blitz with you all and the award. I think great press, and we'll get a lot of social media engagement. You know, that's organic pictures. Organic posts that we promote and that we really push. That's really what.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we can probably work it out amongst us and how to. We can arrange our photo op on that. And so, thank you, Principal. Tell us the newsletter already went out that you mentioned, Ashley. Would it be possible to get on the get my name added, or any other interested board members or names added, just so we can see what's going on as well? That'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I can work on that.
Okay, perfect.
Apologies, I am back. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Can you all hear me? Okay, good. My apologies. My Wi-Fi is completely going out. But just wanted to, like I said, re-mention the board photo op. So if you all are interested in that, we would love to do another media blitz, social media blitz with the award as well.
Okay, I said Ashley that we'll try to get ourselves
any questions
together
to make that about happen. That.
No.
Say that one more time.
I said we'll work it out to see if we can get us together to take a photo and get that done for you guys.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. That'll be amazing. Thank you for that.
Okay. All right. And Ashley,
any other questions on the Hope Award?
No, Ashley. But I did have another question about the marketing piece. We're still full steam ahead for the open enrollment season for next school year, that we're still being very aggressive in our campaigns.
Oh yes. So the Google and social ads, the social ads will start tomorrow, and the Google ads will start by Monday. So that's starting very early. Typically we don't start that process until sometime in the spring. So we're starting very early with that. And in the new year, that's when we'll go into the billboards, the geofencing. So the answer is yes, we're being very aggressive, A, by starting earlier, and two, by being more focused on our target audience. And also spreading wider nets, like through the billboard app and as well as the geofencing. So absolutely.
Okay, all right. And we're casting the net wider than wards 4 and 5. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
I was going to say, yes, we are doing that. And if I may, Carrie, I am Tiffany Walter. For those of you who are new, I serve as the National Director of Scholar Enrollment for PLA. We wanted to acknowledge that the lottery application opened on yesterday for Hope. So this is right on target with us doing or opening our network of marketing opportunities a lot earlier, because it aligns with, hey, the application just opened. So we're launching that tomorrow and into next week. So this is definitely going to be a better reach for new scholars Hope. So we are excited to have it open a lot earlier, because it now closely aligns with when the application launched.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks, Tiffany. Thanks, Ashley. Okay.
You're so welcome.
Great. All right. So I think we can move on to the CMO report. Who's doing that today?
Josh, is that what you need there?
Yes, that's perfect.
Okay. Just tell me when to change slides and I will move it forward.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, good evening, everyone. My name is Joshua Christian. I am the instructional specialist here at Hope Towson. And I'm going to be going through our academic board report. I wanted to start with some successes and some celebrations, because oftentimes we know how easy it is to talk about how we can get better or what are the things that we need to do to increase student performance and really make sure that we're in a great place in a great school building. So some of the things that were super important and we're super proud of is our students and our teachers' ability to collect data. So not only are kids collecting data on themselves, but teachers are also collecting data. They're always circulating, gathering that formative assessment data, and really making sure that they're understanding truly what is working for children and what has been difficult for children. So we're super proud of teachers' ability to collect data, but then they're taking it to the next level. They're also using that data. So in our professional development sessions, teachers are taking the time to really dive into the standards, really see what the gap is, whether that's the conceptual gap or the procedural gap, and really making sure that they're really teaching towards the misconceptions that students have. And then they're taking that to the next level by sharing the data. So oftentimes you'll walk through the building, you'll see data walls in all the teachers' classrooms. In the hallways, you'll see data, student data up with comments and notes on it, so that students see that they're being celebrated in the building. They see that we truly care and we want the best for them. So that data is important. We're sharing with families, sending out the progress reports, sending out the weekly newsletter, making sure that everyone, all vested stakeholders, truly understand what the data is stating. And we're super proud of what the teachers have done so far. So just wanted to make sure that everyone knows the hard work that teachers are putting in. But with the hard work, that takes us into a few action steps. But before we move on to the next part, are there any questions about the successes that we're seeing in the building?
No, not right now. Just keep going. Probably have some other questions.
Okay. So we're going to dive into the opportunities for improvement and the three highest leverage action steps that we're noticing in the building. So as we're Principal Owens, myself, and the rest of the academic or the administrative team, as we're circulating through the building, we came up with three action steps that are truly going to drive our students and really make sure they're doing well. Those three things were what to do directions, monitoring aggressively, and developing effective lesson plans. We've shared with teachers on how to go about all of these things, giving them direct action steps. And we've been following through with those action steps in our one-to-one meetings, our PLCs. Anytime where teachers have questions, they know that we have open door policy so they can come in and ask. And Principal Owens and myself have been going in to model some of these things in classrooms. So oftentimes you'll see the principal going in or the instructional specialist, myself, going in to really make sure that teachers understand what it is we're looking for, what it is that we consider effective, and then what are the steps that it's going to take or the criteria for success to make that happen. Right now, with what to do directions, we have 11 out of 15 of our academic teachers that are doing well with that. So that's about 73% of our teachers in the building are standing still. They're giving clear directions for students to really make sure that students know the expectation and they know how to go about achieving whatever the goal is. We have about 9 out of 15 teachers who are actually circulating classrooms on a day-to-day level, really making sure that they're collecting as much data as possible. And then we have about 53%, 8 out of 15 teachers who are turning in effective lesson plans, which means that they're identifying the criteria for success, the big ideas, they're identifying their small groups ahead of time, and they really are making sure that they have exemplar work that they're going to be using that they expect from students. So that's at about 53% right now. So those are our goals right now. We won't change the goals until we reach at least 90%. And then once we reach 90%, we'll start changing out our goals and our action steps. Are there any questions about our areas of improvement in the building?
And this is a new system you and Mr. Owens implemented?
So no, this just the way the data is presented. So PLA has an academic playbook that they use. So these statistics are coming straight from our playbook when it comes to us doing observations. So the first one is around domain 1 in classroom culture. The second one is around domain 5, which is effective instruction. And the last one is around student engagement and preparation. So they're coming directly from our academic playbook.
Okay. And are teachers embracing this?
Say that again.
Model? Are teachers embracing this model? The numbers seem to kind of fall off as we go on from the creating and implementing and then, you know, making sure the lesson plan has all the relevant components.
So I think we've gotten a lot of buy-in recently because teachers now know the why behind a lot of things. They're always told, what do we need to do? How do we do it? But what's the why? What's the root? Where is this coming from? Where is this taking us? So I think now that the teachers know the why, we've been seeing a lot of buy-in. We know with organizational change, there's always going to be a lot of pushback. But right now, I think we're increasing with our goals because we've been very clear on telling teachers why we're doing it. And we're grounding everything in the data.
And to piggyback what Josh is saying, we also had a large group of new teachers that just recently started. So that's why the data reflects that. So we're working with them as well. And we are revisiting the small group because we look at that was our lower as far as the data is shown. So we are revisiting that. And we are that is going to be on December the 19th professional development. So we're going to revisit that and reteach that.
Okay. Yes. Are you addressing some of this in your next PD session or?
Yeah, well, the data will be shared with teachers as we collect it. We share it as well. So they'll know why we're, you know, diving into that particular PD. So I do think we're in a good place.
Okay. All right.
All right. And that takes us into.
Just so can we just make a note that you guys can give us an update of this? Maybe not January, obviously, right? But maybe February.
Okay.
Get an update to this. Mm-hmm.
All right. So we talk about those areas of improvement, and we want to talk about the timeline. So we wanted to share some of the upcoming testing dates because we do feel like these things need to be in place before our scholars can do well. So as you can see, we have NWEA MAP coming up. That's going to be our winter assessment, our MOI assessment. We have WIDA access coming up in February from the 14th to the 17th of the following month, March. And then we also have MSAA and PARC. So we have MSAA approaching the springtime, and then we have PARC following that in May.
Hi, Josh. Can you just slow down? And for most of us who are not in education, what is WIDA access and MSAA? Well, can you just start from the top? It's probably best.
Yes. So NWEA MAP is a performance assessment that determines what level students are at and how they compare with other students in the area. So you can fall into different percentiles. So we try to get our students to fall increase by percentile every single time they take the assessment. So you want them to average, in my opinion, at least 20 points per test to show that they're really making strides towards mastering different standards within the content area that they're taking the test on.
Okay. Okay.
Mr. Owens, would you like to talk about WIDA and MSAA?
Yes, WIDA testing is for our ELL students. So basically it works that we survey them. We have to get permission from the parents, and once we get that permission, we have that assessment. But that's for our English language learners.
Okay.
And the MSAA / DMN is the alternative assessment for our special education students.
Okay.
And then the last one, PARC, which most people are familiar with, mm-hmm. is the College and Career Readiness Assessment, which determines whether or not you're prepared to pursue higher education.
Okay.
And we've also identified some of the ways that families can join in to help make sure their students are successful. So some different test-taking strategies when it comes to, you know, having a good meal at home before you come in, or making sure that you're up early enough to come in and get breakfast so that you can get that good meal, making sure that your child is doing their homework, you're checking it, you're asking questions, you're writing notes. We've really been pushing students to circle where they make mistakes at. So if something is hard, they can kind of circle where they got stuck at so that the teacher knows how to increase that area of deficit. And so we're trying to sharing those with the parents and the families and the communities or whoever's helping the student so that we can all work together to make sure our students are successful.
Can you remind me, we administer the MAP test twice a year to look at growth, or is it more frequently than that?
So it's 2 to 3 times a year.
Okay.
Do we do any kind of, I know you're talking about parent tips, how they can be helpful, but do we do any kind of information to the parents about what these tests are?
Yeah, so we have informational sessions.
Okay.
Based on what events we have coming up, what testing we have coming up. So just like we'll be going through testing protocols with teachers mm-hmm. in the building, we also share some of those things with families so that they're aware too. And then also so they know how to read the score because right. it's not as simple as A, B, C, D. Right. You know, there's a little bit of quantitative data with it that they need to know how to read that.
I've never heard of the WIDA on MSA. Is that new? Oh my.
No, it's not new. We just it's relatively to address our learning needs for the ELL students, and the MSA is alternative test. Those are students that are far most of them are in a self-contained classroom, or not, or those that are two or three grades below, and they're not going, they won't do well, or project not to do well on a regular test as their peers. So they take a alternative test, which maybe if you like differentiation instruction. But Miss Jones is our new teacher liaison. She can explain a lot better than I can because she's the ESLL person. If you give her permission to speak at this time.
Yes, yes, please. I'll be great.
Hi, I'm Ms. Tierra Jones. So the WIDA assessment, it doesn't measure them academically, but it tests the English language proficiency and their output of the English language. So it measures, their English language. Yeah, and they have it in writing, reading, speaking, and listening. So it measures their ability to write in the English language, their ability to speak in the English language, their ability to listen to the English language, and then respond. That's speaking.
What's generally our the percent of English learners in the school? Do we know that?
I think it's about 12%. Okay. I can't get your accurate number right now, but it's I have to look and find out what it is, but it's between 8 and 12%.
Okay, thanks.
Why is my God, this not working?
Are there any other questions about our statewide assessments?
No, I don't have any other questions. Anissa, anything to add?
No, I think they covered it. I mean, I wrote some things down just for when we meet in our academic excellence committee meetings, but I think everything here is pretty clear.
Okay.
All right. So we talked about the statewide assessments that we'll be taking in our next semester, but we do take assessments weekly, which are our common formative assessments. So we assess where kids are at the end of each week so that teachers can tailor their instruction to really make sure that it's intentional. You're going after the exact things that students need. And you're not spending time teaching kids what they already know, but you're spending time teaching kids some of the things they need support with or breaking some of those misconceptions. So here you can see that and this is actually a really big shout out, super proud of the staff. If you scroll down a little bit, you'll see the graph of our engagement by grade. So with PLA, PLA looks at the CFA data weekly. And as you can see, Hope is now at 88% of our school is being tested. So with about 205 students, and we're hitting about 88% of our kids are engaging in assessments weekly. You see the breakdown between grade levels, K to two at the bottom, and then it goes 3 to 8. We do see that we need a little bit of support with sixth grade. So we're working towards making sure that kids are in seat on those Fridays or Thursdays when teachers are administering the test so that we can make sure we're testing the rest of our scholars.
So the reason that sixth grade is not being tested is because there's a lot of absences on those days and there's no retest.
Yeah, so there is absences on those days, and then the window may close before teachers have the opportunity to test the rest of the scholars. Oh. So the data points that we have below, we have the CFA completion. Like I said, we're grounding our shout out in children first. Our teachers went from 40, there was about 44% of the assessments were getting completed, and now we're at 88%. So we've seen a great increase, and we're super proud of our teachers. Ms. McKay actually wanted to give her a shout out for continuous improvement. She had 93% of her scholars master the most recent CFA assessment. And the last one, wanted to give a shout out for math foundational skills. Our math teachers are grounded everything in this student data and making sure that they're being intentional with their small group rotations. Students have a technology station, which they work on Zern. They work with the actual teacher, getting a little bit more support in a small group. And they have an independent station, so they're able to grapple with the material on their own, come up with their questions, and then present that with the teacher during the other small group rotation. So we're seeing some great things with the data points. They're going up. As long as we can continue to make sure that our students are testing, we can really make sure we're driving instruction and being intentional with who's teaching what and how they're teaching the information.
And this is Carrie. So going back to the sixth grade, so when we have that low participation, do we do anything extra, like to reach out to families or? Like,
yes, so our school social worker, Ms. Gregory, reaches out to families. The teacher reaches out directly to the families. And then Ms. Bianca has reached out to families as well, so that we can really try to make sure we're getting students in the building. With that, it may not all be because students haven't been coming into the building. We've also had a couple of issues with the platform and students not being on Google Classroom. So as we increase the amount of students who have laptops, who are able to access the test via Google Classroom and Edulastic, then we can get them tested as well. But some of our sixth grade scholars have been taking tests on the paper tests, but those paper tests were not entered into the CFA platform in order to be graded due to that barrier.
I thought we had computers for all the kids.
So some students have taken their computers home and they leave it at home, so they don't have it in the building that day when we take the assessment. There are different reasons as to why some computers have not shown up or students are not able to access their computer in the building.
Okay.
Hi, Sharifa.
Go ahead, Sharifa.
I think it's great the focus on focusing on the areas where the students need improvement, the areas where there's a knowledge gap versus the areas where, you know, there's enough knowledge. When identifying the skill gaps and when driving home the need to focus on those areas where the students need more help, is that on a grade level or is that on a class by class level?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
When identifying the areas where there's a knowledge gap, is that on a grade level or on a class-by-class level?
Both. It's on a student level, it's on a class level as a whole, and it's also on a grade level. However, we don't have to focus on things across the grade because we're departmentalized. So if there's a skill gap within one class within third grade, we're able to look at the data as a whole, as third grade, that one class, and then take it to the next level and look at what students are having the gap. And then, or based on maybe not the student, but where's the teacher weaker in and how can we grow the teacher's knowledge? So I think it's a case by case basis, but I think it's across the whole field.
And then we also drill down a little bit deeper than that when we have our multi-tier system support meetings, it's called MTSS. We try to identify those students as well as the gaps they have and what kind of interventions that we can employ so our scholars can be successful.
Sharifa, to kind of interject, it's almost like we look at students, compare them to where they should be and their grade level, but then we take that data and we're providing differentiated instruction. So honestly, the instruction we provide as intervention is probably not at grade level. It's probably at all different places, but we have built into our schedule a small group time within the classroom so that we are pulling kids during that small group time. And that's what Mr. Owens and Mr. Christian were talking about. We've got to tighten up because when we pull kids out of the room for intervention to get support at wherever they are, regardless of their grade, if that makes sense, they're not missing core instruction either because we want them to be able to have access to where they need to be, but we want to fill the gaps. Does that make sense?
It does. So it's not necessarily tailoring the curriculum. It's pulling specific children or specific students and addressing specific needs. And you're looking for, okay.
So I'm just kind of like Mr. Christian was saying about lesson planning. So if we see a need that's more collectively like the larger group, we will tailor lessons to meet the needs of the group. However, if we have certain students that are either well behind, even a tailoring of the lesson is not going to meet their needs still, if that makes sense, because they're not, you know, then we are going to actually pull out and do more of a smaller group or an individualized plan for those kids that have additional gaps.
Okay. And so for the exam that's coming up in January, it sounds like efforts are in place to help prepare for that January exam based off of the identification of the knowledge gaps. Is that already in place where you're coaching students for that January exam?
I can answer. I'm sorry, I didn't know if they wanted to jump in.
It's not just for that exam per se, it's for all the gaps that they have. And we're hoping that it will increase their levels when they take that exam. But we don't just focus on the exam. We're focused on all the gaps or deficiencies that they may have at the time. So once we take the NWE, the MAPS, that's from beginning year, that's where we get our baseline. In the middle of the year, we take it again, and then we find out where they are and if check on the growth, how far they grow. And then we go back and look at the data. Okay, that they may grow this percentage points. What part of that do we need to work on for them to continue to grow? And then at the end, we take it again at the end of the year to see how much growth they did in that school year.
So the middle of the year.
We've seen some similarities between, like, from week to week, the students that are making up that gap of who's being tested. And are there other opportunities to be able to collect data? Because it seems like there could be, we're missing a large chunk of information for a big chunk of students if every week it's the same kids who are not getting that data from them. And if it's about where they are behind or where they really need some additional support, you know, how can we be collecting that data in other ways?
When we do a CFA data, CFA tests weekly, we're collecting a lot of data as well. And that's done weekly.
And if they are the same kids that are missing, that aren't in their seats or aren't in school on a weekly basis, it seems like that, how else are we getting data from those kids who aren't being captured through that CFA to really identify where they need that additional support?
Well, data is collected daily.
Daily, okay.
This is a weekly data point. So this is not the only assessment or data point that students have. So they have classwork, they have homework, they have different types of assessments throughout the week, whatever those check for understanding questions. Data is being collected on all students every single day. This is just the one that we use across regions to really see, compare students based on their grade level and based on the Common Core standards.
Thank you.
No problem. Are there any other questions about the CFA data?
Just one random one. This is Lorraine. Back up to the chart. Maybe it's just that I didn't see it, but is seventh grade not on there, or do they not? Do you guys not have the data for seventh grade?
Oh, I didn't realize seventh grade wasn't in the report.
I was just curious. I didn't know if maybe they weren't testing. That's all I was going to ask.
Oh, so they are testing. I'm not sure why that's not on. Would you happen to be a parent at Hope?
Yes, I am.
Okay, that's what I thought. I can definitely get the data for you and share that with you, so that you can see what seventh grade data looks like. And I don't mind sharing with anybody else, but we can definitely pull that and get that over to you all.
Okay, perfect. But yeah,
seventh grade is taking the assessment.
Okay, cool. My son is in K-2. So it's really good to see that, you know, their bars at 100.
Okay. This is good. It's good to see this kind of information being presented. So at some point, you know, we may need to repeat it again after we get through some of the testing, get some follow-up on that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
All right. And now I'm going to pass it to Mr. Owens as we talk about some of the facility updates that we have.
Well, when we're talking about facility updates, some of the things that we're doing, because we looked at trying to enrich our culture for us within the school, as well as our staff, as well as our students. We just started our sports program, and we have boys and girls basketball as well as cheerleaders. And we've had a couple games so far. And it's been a lot of support from the staff as well as from the families as well. And one game we've had today it was postponed, I guess, before as the weather's concerned. But I mean, it's the kids. It's really they're very excited about it, and really it curtails their behavior, and they know that they have expectations in the classroom for us, with these new for us, behaviors for us, academics. And we see a big change. And Mr. Gilliams has a book club, so kids are reading. as well, and that's after school and have books to read. And Miss Gregory's doing an expression group, which is all ladies group. They talk about discussing different matters that they have that our young adolescents will deal with when they're in middle school. And if you go to the last page, you see that we also know things for adults. It's almost like Adult Spirit Week, which I would say. Those are pictures of our games, but below that, you see that we have a theme, and every week, every day, we did something different for this week. We also are, I asked Miss Jones to conduct a survey, so we're doing a survey as well as surveying the staff, and she's also serving the staff if they have any concerns that we can address immediately, so we can also, that they also have a voice and can be heard within the school.
I saw that you guys had Howard University ladies basketball, women's basketball team do a visit at the school. Was it today or sometime this week?
It was today.
Yes, it was today. Oh,
mm-hmm. Yes.
Did it go well?
It's going to be, it went out, and the pictures and everything will be on our next board meeting. We'll okay. share that with you.
Yes, it did go well. I had an opportunity to speak with Ms. Tobias just before this call to see what all happened. It was a very, very nice visit with the basketball team, and they have opened the opportunity for our Hope Scholars to be able to actually attend games, their upcoming games. So it was a visit for today, but it will be a continuous partnership with the team, which will be a great opportunity for mentorship for our young ladies at Hope. So really, really excited about the opportunity. So yes, you will see pictures and more to come with that relationship and partnership.
Yeah, the pictures are on Instagram feed, so I did see them. So that's how I knew.
Awesome.
That's good to hear.
Mm-hmm. And as Ms. Baylor has posted, we also, girls are invited to go to some of the practices. And one of the girls had demonstrated some of the drills that they go through in college. Mm-hmm. But it was the great informational things they need to do for us. Nutrition, they talk about nutrition, how to take care of the bodies, things of that nature, and talk about the scholar-athlete. Student athlete, what they entails, what they need to do to be a scholar athlete, and how much work you have to put in. They also said that not just work on the practice, it's work when you're not at school, things that need you to do for yourself to enhance your skill. And one of the young ladies talked about just being able to be healthy, wellness, mind. So throw some things to do for their mind, to exercise their mind and focus on their mind so that will help them be healthy as well.
I'm curious, do you guys, because I know that you have the programming for the Girls for Expressions, and then you also had the women's basketball team come in from Howard, which is amazing. It's my alma mater, so go HU. But I also wanted to know if you guys happen to have any programming or ideas when it came to talking to the young boys at school too, or any partnership ideas or things that cater to, you know, young men's mental health or, you know, their interest as well.
We've talked about it, and we're in the process of putting something together, myself and Mr. Fennell, to talk about some things we need to do and bring some motivational speakers in to talk to the young men, as well as have some programs. I'm a former professional boxer, so I want to talk about some things with some students. I had them doing some, just not about three or four kids doing some drills with me yesterday, as a matter of fact, but some of the things that to do that can look forward to, and do some bonding and some mentoring.
That would be great.
Great. Sounds good. I look forward to hearing more about these efforts as time goes on. You've been busy, Mr. Owens.
I'm trying. That's all I can say. I'm trying. It's very short window trying to get a lot of things done. So but we're turning around. We do see progress, I can say that.
Good, that's good. That's good. All right. Any more questions regarding the academic updates? No. Melissa, do you want to give an update from the Academic Excellence Committee.
Sure. We did have a meeting here recently and talked through a couple of updates and some different things that were coming along regarding our expeditionary learning. We're trying to think of a couple other things. We talked about our upcoming assessments. And I apologize, as part of the team, Christina usually shares our notes from our last meeting. And so I'm trying to recall what other items we discussed at our academic committee meeting.
We spoke about like data from student like learning loss, and we talked about how that
Yes, my goodness. I am so sorry. Thank you. Yes, we actually shared crosswalk data and looked at both our summer advantage program, our intervention, and looked at student growth. And we were excited to share that looking at those students that were in summer advantage really came into the year. We had a very high percentage of students that had no learning loss or even had gains from over the summer. And that's typically unheard of. Usually we, you know, experience summer learning loss. So some great celebrations there.
Great, cool. All right. Okay. And I think we also decided to, that we'll have our Ms. Allen. I think she's she does special ed, but at that program. So she's going to start joining the Academic Excellence Committee meetings as well going forward. So just wanted to add that. Any questions about that meeting from anyone?
I just have a quick comment. This is Lorraine, the parent, about the Summer Advantage program. Just as a parent who was a part of that program, it was amazing. It was such a great program. My son highly enjoyed it. The instructors were so engaging, and the data is correct. You know, I saw the improvement of him now in his class to where even to comment on the data that they were presenting earlier, his teacher and a couple other kids who were also in the Summer Advantage program, they have this binder that she set aside for them because they, you know, they go really fast. And my son is getting to that, I'm getting bored in class stage. So she has set aside time for them to go through this binder together. So they have this kind of like little work group, and it's really cute. So all that to say, that program was really, really helpful. And all of the parents loved it.
Fantastic. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, thank you for the feedback, Lorraine. That's good to hear. Okay. All righty. Guys, forgive me. I had to switch to my phone and my video won't work. I'm here. So next we have new business. And Eric, are you on the call?
I am.
Okay, fantastic. Everyone, I would like to need to do a vote to Eric Johnson as a candidate to join the board. And I like to put forth a vote to have Eric. I'm sorry, I can't find my notes here. I've met with Eric and a couple of board members. We met with him a little while ago. This has been a work in progress. So thank you for your patience, Eric. And
I appreciate your patience.
No problem. And I would like to put forth a motion to approve Eric Johnson joining the Hope PCS board. May I have someone to make a motion to approve?
Hi, this is Anissa. I move to state Mr. Eric Johnson as a new board member for Hope.
And may I have someone to second the motion?
Hi, Sharifa. I second the motion to approve Eric Johnson as a new board member.
You don't need me to talk about myself or anything?
Period. Yeah, we're not here yet. We're going to do the vote first. So all in favor say aye.
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 Any nays or abstentions? No, it's been approved that Eric Johnson will join the board. Eric, I don't have your bio in front of me since my computer died on me. So will you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
I thought you might want to hear it before you voted.
No.
No, I'm joking around. So I'll be quick. You know, so my name is Eric Johnson. My PhD is in educational development, educational leadership and policy and development. Right now, I spend a lot of my time probably, in fact, right now I'm in Florida looking at some charter schools. So I spend a lot of my time looking at school improvement, helping schools be more efficient in the way that they operate, but also develop policies and practices that build equity inside the way schools operate to respond to the needs of all students. And so I guess I've been doing that for about 15, 20 years. I spent some time in schools as a teacher. I spent some time in schools as an administrator. And I spent some time at the university training teachers, training principals and superintendents. And I didn't feel like my impact was what I wanted to be. So I decided to come on the side of school improvement to have a more direct impact on success for particularly vulnerable students, of which I was one. And so that's a little bit about my background relating to education.
Well, thank you, Eric. We are happy you made it today and you're able to join us. I'm looking forward to your contribution as we move forward. So welcome. Okay. Any old business? I don't think there is. I don't think so. So we can just keep things moving along. So there are other business, first semester retention bonus. Who's going to talk about this?
Good evening. I'm going to talk about that. Hope everyone is doing well. So we are proposing that that the school and PLA offer a $250 bonus payable to staff in January as a small token of our gratitude and appreciation for all of their hard work. And you can see the financial impact there, all in with taxes and everything. It's $12,650. The bonus would be payable in January. And to be eligible for the bonus, you just have to have been hired and working by December 1st. And any employer would need to be active at the time of payout to receive it. So just a way to show our gratitude and appreciation to them because they do work very hard. And I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
I don't have any questions. Very nice gesture. Thank you for doing that.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Okay.
I believe, and Sherry, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe this is something that does need board approval.
Yes. Yep.
Oh, it does. Okay.
It's over $10,000, Carrie. So it's over our threshold for approvals, and we would love the board to take action on this.
Okay. Any board members have any questions before we do a vote?
Yvonne, I assume this is accounted for in our salary line for the budgets?
Yes, we do have an allowance for stipends.
Okay.
All right, so I would like to ask for a motion to approve the retention bonus for the 44 staff members at Hope payable in January 2023. May I have someone to approve?
This is Sharifa. I move to approve the retention bonus of $250. For a total of 44 staff payable for January 2023.
Thank you. May I have someone to second the motion?
Ms. Allison, I'll second.
Thank you, Allison. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any nays or abstentions? No, it is approved, the retention bonus.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Okay, and at this moment, at this time, I would like to, I'm going to move to the open communications or public comments. I'll open the floor. Does anyone have any comments to any public comments? Okay. Okay, so no comments. All right, at this time, I would like to, hold on, give me one sec.
Carrie, did you take a closed session? I put this on here. I wasn't sure if you needed or wanted one.
Yeah, I was just looking for the language, yeah. I just want to do a short closed session. So I would like to make a motion to move the board to closed session to discuss legal, personnel, and contractual business matters. We have someone vote to approve that move.
This is Anissa. I move to go to closed session to discuss legal, personnel, and contractual business.
I second
the motion.
All right, thank you. So